Today's story is about almonds, celebrations, and enormous goats. It's also about me, your host, Anupam Kher. But mostly, it's about making you smile. Welcome to Anupam Kher's Chapter 10, Milk and Almonds. A few days back, I told you about my first play. In the fifth standard, my teacher gave me the lead role in our class play as the king, but it ended up being a disaster. In the middle of the play, the milkman's son Nandu decided he didn't want to lose the sword fight to me on stage, a fight we had choreographed and rehearsed so many times. So Nandu improvised. He lifted my scrawny body up over his head and threw me into the audience. You might say that was the night my career took flight. But I didn't see it that way. It was not a great night for me. After witnessing my defeat, my father had an idea to toughen me up. Seeing me tossed aside so easily, he told my mother, "Give him milk and almonds. We need to build a bit to strength." My mother agreed, but our family didn't have money to spare, so she said, "Okay, when we can afford it, ilme aasan badam to buddhim emis. If I have it, I will give it to him." And so once a week, I was given my new vitamin, milk and almonds. Protein to make me stronger, better, more successful. And when we didn't have milk and almonds, I was given bean sprouts, anything to help me succeed. Now, if a glass of milk and handful of almonds sounds like a treat to you, that's how it seemed to me too. At first. But after chewing the same handful of almonds into the same paste and swallowing the same glass of milk, week in and week out, well, it's possible I started to feel a little less grateful. But that doesn't mean my parents didn't see any changes. Remember the story how I was sitting with my crush on a balcony and I accidentally dropped my photograph along with a love note I had written, and how it fell into my mother's lap? Well, my mother was certain of what had happened. She brought the photo home and showed my father the words, "Your body is as smooth as sandalwood, huh?" And she told him, "Sandalwood, huh? Dattvaram, milk and almonds." She knew what had given me my romantic energy, and the milk and almonds were promptly stopped. But let's fast forward a little. When I was in my late 20s, my career was finally taking off and I was soaring. I'd just gotten my breakout role in the film Saransh, The Essence. I had won all the awards that season and I was only waiting for one, the biggest one. The government's National Film Award for Best Actor. I was so excited and I knew I was going to win. After all, I had the best performance of that year.
TV lene nahi aaya hu main. Apne bete ki asthiyan lene aaya hu. Ek baap ka apne bete ki raakh par koi adhikar hai ya nahi?
The day the winner was going to be announced, I was on top of the world. I was staying in a 5-star hotel for the first time, Taj Coromandel in Chennai. It had AC and AC was working. And for the first time, I ordered a Scotch whisky, Black Label. Film stars in India drink Black Label. I was there in my hotel room, waiting for room service and savoring the moment while I waited for the awards to be broadcast. And then, on the TV, the host appeared. It was starting. As she began reading the names of the winners, I started to smile. Best screenplay, okay. Best director, expected. Best supporting actor. I was up next. And as the hostess said, the award for best actor will go to... I raised my glass and toasted, "Cheers, darling." All that was left was to drink my drink. She continued, Best actor will go to Nasiruddin Shah for Par. Are, Nasiruddin Shah? It took me 15 minutes to lower my arm. I sat on the bed stunned. What do I do? I thought that was my greatest performance and greatest disappointment. Sitting there alone in my lavish hotel room, I felt so small. I needed something to comfort me. So I called down to room service and said, Please, can you cancel my previous order and send me some almonds and a glass of milk instead? That day I ate a meal fit for a king. A scrawny one. It's true I didn't get an award for my character in Saransh. All those lines I had rehearsed over and over. And I was disappointed. But thanks to my parents' support, I had been practicing for this moment too. I knew I would keep acting. I just needed a little strength to move forward. Speaking of interrupted celebrations, I want to tell you about a city in Sweden whose inhabitants have been starting over every winter since 1966. The city called Gävle is in central Sweden, and in 1966, a local ad consultant there named Stig was on a mission. Stig wanted to attract more business to the shops on the south side of the city across the river. As it happened, the winter holidays were approaching, and that gave Stig an idea. We all celebrate the holidays differently. In America, Santa is known for delivering Christmas gifts. But in Scandinavia, it's not Santa who brings the presents. It's the Yule Bock, or the Christmas goat. And it's common for people to place small goats made of straw tied with red ribbon under their Christmas trees. But Stig had something much bigger in mind. He wanted to build a giant goat to bring people to town. But he also knew that all of that straw and ribbon was going to be expensive, so he started to fundraise for the project. When someone agreed to pay for the materials, Stig left the task of building the Christmas goat in the hands of his brother, Jörgen, the city's fire chief. With Jörgen in charge, what could go wrong? So on December 1st, the first giant Yule goat was built right near the fire station. It rose 43 feet into the air and was made from 3 tons of wood and straw plus yards of red ribbon. The goat stood like a beacon over the town square, attracting shoppers and warming hearts. Stig's idea was working. Then things heated up. For the people of Gävle, the straw goat proved to be irresistible. And by New Year's Eve, the goat had really caught on. That night, as people gathered to celebrate the end of the old year and welcome the new one, a vandal crept up to the holiday mascot and lit it on fire. The straw body blazed, and the goat's silhouette was wrapped in bright ribbons of flame. The culprit was eventually found and charged with vandalism, but the damage had been done. The goat had been burnt down after only a month, and Stig's financier backed out. There was no one to fund the goat for the next year. Luckily, a group of local business owners liked Stig's idea, and they stepped in to pay. For the following few years, the Yule goat would rise again, but so would the flames. Each year, some pesky hooligan would take it upon themselves to roast the straw goat. For 2 years, there was peace, but then, on New Year's Eve, history repeated itself. The Gävle goat was burned down just as before. And the next year, it didn't even make it to New Year's. The goat was burned down just 6 hours after being built. The merchants grew tired of their goats being burned down, and they stepped down from constructing them. But by then, the town's goat tradition was well known. People wanted to keep the tradition alive. So the science club of a local high school took over. The students built a much smaller version of the goat. Maybe this tinier target would survive. But the little goat burned just like the rest. And from there, things only escalated. The Yule goat continued to be destroyed year after year for decades. As the tradition grew, city officials tried new means of protection. Fences were built, guards were posted, but the goats kept burning. One year after the goat was burned down, a replacement was built, and for extra safety, it was fireproofed with aircraft-grade flame retardant. That year, the second goat wasn't burned. It was smashed to pieces. Other years, it's stolen, cut apart, even rammed by a car. It seemed the only thing that warmed people's hearts more than seeing their Yule goat tower over the city was seeing it destroyed. And the townsfolk went to great lengths to keep the tradition alive. After 2 decades of building and burning, the science club's goat was entered into the Guinness Book of World Records. And for added protection that year, the goat was enclosed by a 6-foot metal fence and guarded by securitas and soldiers from the local Swedish infantry. And just like the others, that goat only lasted till January. It too went up in flames. Over the years, bookies started taking bets on when exactly the goats would be lit. And despite the city's efforts to protect the goats, the pranksters always seemed to find a way to destroy it. When the committee set up webcams to watch the goats, they were disabled by hackers and the goats were burned. Another year, when a guard was posted, mischief makers paid him to leave his post and the goat was stolen by helicopter and flown to Stockholm. But perhaps the best story is from 2005, when 2 men dressed as Santa Claus and the gingerbread man approached the goat with a bow and took it down with a flaming arrow. Since 1966, the goat has only survived 17 winters. And it seems even nature can't choose a side. In 1998, guards were posted for the goat, and that year, there was a bad blizzard. In all the snow and wind, there was no way to ignite the goat. And as the weather got worse, the guards decided to duck into a restaurant to warm up. When they eventually looked outside, well, what do you think they saw? There, in the middle of the blizzard, like a miracle, the goat burned. Stieg's original mission was to use the giant goat to attract people to the businesses nearby. And it worked. In 2008, 10,000 people came to the goat's inauguration. And today, people from 105 countries watch a live stream of the Gävle goat, waiting to see if the straw animal will survive into the new year. You can even follow the goat on Twitter. The funny thing is, if it weren't for the goat committee rebuilding the goat year after year, there would be nothing to burn. But if it weren't for the fires, well, you probably never would have heard about it. One thing seems certain though. From the ashes, the goat will rise again. And as I learned eating milk and almonds, choosing to begin again is an achievement of its own. That's the real success story. That's it for today's episode. I'm Anupam Kher. Be kind to yourself. And thank you for listening. Anupam Kher is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Anupam Kher. Our executive producer is Mangesh Hathikudur, senior producer Julian Weller, associate producer Morgan Lavoy, Sound design and mixing by Julian Weller and Dan Bauza. Music by Aaron Kaufman. Production support from Emily Marinoff and Mary Dew. Writing by Lucas Riley, Matt Riddle, Margun Lavoy, and Julian Weller. Lucas Riley and Matt Riddle are our story editors. Thanks to Sikin Paru, Herman D'Souza, Godwin Amana, CDM Studios, Connell Byrne, and Bob Pittman. Sandalwood, huh?